Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
What's up, guys? Welcome into the DNVR Rams podcast, presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download it today. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. I am thrilled to be joined by head football coach of CSU football, Jay Norvell. Second time we've had him in studio. It was an absolute honor. Jay, thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You guys have upgraded since I've been here last.
We're getting going a little bit. We're making moves, kind of awesome. Like you guys on the recruiting trail.
Yes,
you guys,
sir.
Really successful 2023 recruiting cycle. I know it's still technically National Signing Day, but I mean, 34 signees in that early period, yep, after a 3-9 season. I think that speaks to the relationships,
yep,
that you guys were able to establish. One of the things that really stood out to me about this class was a lot of these signees were long-time verbal commits. You didn't, yep, have a lot of guys drop out.
Right.
How much of that had to do with really just hitting the trail as soon as you guys got on? Because the last cycle was kind of weird, having with those transfers,
right,
and how that worked.
Well, this is really, from our experience at Nevada, your first full recruiting class is probably your most important class, because these are the players you build your program on. They're the foundation, the building blocks for what we're going to do the next few years here at Colorado State. And, you know, after our first season, we really want to address some areas that we needed major improvement in. You know, number one was our offensive line, and we actually signed 10 players, six of them transfer players, older players that were starters at other schools, to really pour into that room and give us some depth and maturity in our offensive line. You know, the other areas that we really focused on was, we really felt like the offense was an area where we had the biggest turnover on the roster. We signed 5 receivers that are all 6'1 or taller. We signed a 6'4, 6'6, 6'7 tight end to really affect that room. And then we signed a couple of running backs that are home run hitters, and really felt like we fortified our offense. We've really added to what we have. You know, Clay had a great year in a lot of ways. It was a lot of learning experiences, but he still was, threw for 72%. And we think that he's got the foundation to be an excellent player in our system. And so with Torrey Horton's success and some of the things that we did offensively, I think we got room to improve, and obviously the players that we're adding is going to help us do that.
I'm glad you brought up Clay Millen, because statistically what he did is very significant. Not very many quarterbacks are going to do that in year one, especially given the state of the offensive line.
Yep.
Did you guys consider bringing in another veteran quarterback this offseason just for the sake of, you know, competition? And what did you learn about these young quarterbacks?
We considered everything. I think, you know, the biggest thing when you go through a major recruiting cycle like this, and, you know, we need help in every position, we want to create competition at every position. And I think we did look at it. We talked to some guys. We really felt like we wanted to bring an older quarterback in if we could, a guy that was a junior or senior. Just didn't work out, the kids that we were available and the kids that we talked to. And so we'll just continue to always look to improve that. We wanted to improve our receiver position, our running back position, all of our skill positions on defense as well. So we'll just continue to do that. And we think that those quarterbacks have the talent and the physical ability that we're looking for. We just need them to mature and really understand their role in our offense and how they've got to help elevate us to a higher level.
How challenging was it from an evaluation standpoint? I mean, given just the flux of the roster, I mean, the lack of receivers, the constant shuffling of the offensive line, like, you know, yes, you want the raw stats from the quarterback to be better. You want to put up more points. But to me, the thing that kind of stood out was the lack of turnovers. I like that about all those, yeah, young quarterbacks that played. yes, you want them to do more, but they weren't putting the team in harm's way. They were at least giving them a chance to be competitive.
Well, they got to protect the ball. That's really important. And, you know, it was just kind of a perfect storm last year. You know, it seemed like every week we were fighting a battle with a new player on offense having to play for the first time. You know, all four quarterbacks played over the course of the year. You know, and then the offensive line injuries. You know, week two we lost three tackles against Middle Tennessee before that game, and we just had young players playing in the offensive line. We were trying to circle through the season. You know, Keegan Hamilton had to play center for us, a true freshman, for four games. And so we just had to live with those growing pains, whether it was at offensive line, at quarterback, or our young receivers. So, you know, we went through that this year. We had to bite the bullet with the kids that we've added. You know, I think the other thing was significant was playing with 59 scholarship players.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was just really – it didn't give us a competitive edge the second half of the season. It affected how we practiced. And, you know, as of today, we signed 39 players, which gets us up to 85. And so we're going into the 23 with a full roster, kids that want to be here. And that should make a big difference.
Do you feel confident in the state of the offensive line right now with the guys you were able to sign?
Yeah, I think what our problem was, we had three seniors last year that were experienced players, and then we really didn't have juniors or sophomores that we could play or depend on. And so when those kids had to play, you know, it really hampered us and limited what we could do offensively. So we felt like we wanted to pour talent into there. 10 players, four really good freshmen, and six transfer players that are all have size and strength and physicality. Several of them have been two-year starters in college, so they understand how to be dependable. And so I think that's really going to help us. And then also the tight ends. You know, one of the issues in our offense was we didn't really have a tight end to threaten the middle of the field. When people played coverage on Torrey and on Justice Ross Simmons, we didn't have anybody that could threaten the middle of the field. And Dallin Hoker is a proven player from BYU, 6'4", 240, really is an accomplished receiver. And I think he'll give us some experience and a playmaker down the middle to really complement our wide receivers.
I'm glad you brought up the tight ends, because that's actually one of the positions I wanted to talk about, just, you know, looking at Dallin and Vincent Brown and some of these guys that are coming into the program. It seems like you're better suited to have that Cole Turner type role, like you said, attacking the middle of the field. For those that don't, you know, maybe understand, how big is it to be able to attack the middle, especially vertically, when you want to be able to get these guys open on the outside and not have them constantly being shadowed over the top?
You know, I think you know, we have a philosophy of recruiting big athletic receivers, and this crop, we brought in five in this recruiting class that really reflect all the things we're looking for. And so our kids kind of have a reputation of being able to run deep and be one-on-one matchups. And the only way a defense can protect against that is to double cover you on the outside and cloud it. But when you do that, you leave the middle open. And that's where, when we were at Nevada, we had so much success because we had Romeo Dubs outside and then we had Cole Turner inside. And so a defense really couldn't double cover Romeo because it really exposed them with Cole. And so down the middle, and we just didn't have that last year. But we poured three big bodies into that position. We really like Jordan Williams. We think he's going to be an excellent tight end. But Dallin Hoker is a guy that's a proven college player at BYU, excellent receiver. I think he's going to give us a shot in the arm there. Then we bring in Vince Brown, who's a 6'7 tight end from College of DuPage. They won the national championship. He's played wide receiver. He's fitting in at tight end now. Very similar to Cole Turner. You know, when Cole Turner came in, he was a 6'7 wide out. We moved him to tight end. And then Mason Masao from Hawaii is another guy that's 6'6", 210 pounds right now. Has that profile that we look for, like a power forward at tight end.
Any awkwardness there, just given that he was technically committed to Timmy Chang at one point?
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's, Timmy's awesome, but Timmy also is looking for the same profile player we're looking for. So him and his family came over and just loved it, and we're so excited to have him.
What are your goals for this 2024 cycle? Because obviously, I mean, the focus today, 2023, it's signing day. But really with the early period, you guys have been on to 2024 for quite some time now.
No, we're excited. We constantly are recruiting. And so, obviously our guys were out in high schools this last few weeks. We got a great jump on 24s. And so we'll just continue to recruit. We've got an excellent staff. And we feel like that we've been able to bring kids to Fort Collins, show them our great community, our great facilities, and it's been nothing but positive. And so we're going to continue to grow on that. You know, as for the season, you know, we won 3 games at Nevada our first year. Our second year, we won 8 and won our bowl game. And I expect us to make a big jump this year. And understanding and expectations, and that locker room, I think we have a group of guys that really are unselfish and they want to sacrifice and be a part of something bigger than themselves. So the news guys got to contribute. And with that competition, we got to raise everybody's performance.
I definitely want to talk to you about the staff. Real quick, the stage is set. We're coming down to the battle in Arizona. There's no better way for the NFL action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. New customers bet $5, get $200 in free bets instantly. If you're an existing customer, take a shot with an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlay. Boost your Super Bowl 57 winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code DNVR. New customers bet $5 on Super Bowl 57. Get 200 in free bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with that code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. You were on the Ram Nation podcast recently, and those guys do a great job. So shout out to Joel and Mike over there. One of the things that was really interesting to me, and I kind of figured it would be the case, was you brought up Power Five schools and having to fend them off coming after a Freddie Banks, which after the defensive season you guys had, not surprising at all. What did you learn about this defensive staff last year that stood out to you?
No, I just, everybody on our staff was hand chosen for reasons. And, you know, I spent a year around Freddie Banks. I just was so impressed with him. He's such a detailed guy and a great teacher. And he's very demanding and all the qualities you want in a coordinator. We had to fight people off this year to keep Freddie and Buddha Williams and this two really excellent young defensive coaches. Power Five schools from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten went after them and really offered them to double their salary. And so, we were able to get them to stay. And because they love CSU, because they love our program, because – you know, we give them an opportunity to coach the way they want to coach and continue to grow. And so I think we got great people in our staff and in our program. And I just am so excited to keep us together, because I know if we keep our staff together and these players together, we're going to get better. You know, we played Tulane 2 years ago in the Idaho Potato Bowl when I was at Nevada, and we beat Tulane pretty good. And then the next year they went out and won 2 games. And then this past year, they won 12 and beat USC in the Cotton Bowl. And that's a program I think is very comparable to ours. The same team that won 2 games won 12 this year. And so those guys stayed together. They believed in the system. They added talent to that. And they just continue to get better and better. And that's kind of our expectations for this year. You know, we expect to win. We expect to compete against everybody we play against, and we expect to show great improvement.
I'm sure getting to coach some of these defensive players, you know, helps with wanting them to stick around as well.
No doubt.
Kind of off of that, though, especially in 2023, where everybody wants the instant gratification and, you know, just sign 20 transfers and fix it immediately. And, you know, how important is it to keep sight of the upward trajectory and understanding at a G5 program, especially, like, it's not going to happen overnight, because you don't just have bags of cash to throw at every issue you have.
You know, I think that's a great question. And our philosophy has always been to grow our own players we have great insight and an eye for talent. We have a profile that we stick with, what we look for in wide receivers and O-linemen and quarterbacks and defensive linemen and DBs, and we stay true to that. I think we have excellent coaches that really understand how to identify talent and recruit. So that's where we want to build our program. And actually, that's where we can find the best talent, is in high school and in JCs. The transfer portal, because of the NIL money, it's just not – we're not going to be able to attract the top players that have offers from other Power 5 schools in that area. And so we're going to stick where we really can make the biggest bang for our buck, and that's through the high school ranks and through JCs. We want to recruit every great high school player in the state of Colorado. We got three great players. Silas Emmons had multiple Power 5 offers, CU and Oregon State. I mean, we could go anywhere in the country, and that's the kind of receiver we're looking for. You know, Tanner Morley's a monster offensive lineman from Valor, you know, 6'5", 330. And then Javion Smith-Combs is as good a three technique as you'll see in anywhere in the country. You know, he's 6'6", 240 pounds, just an awesome-looking kid. And those are three in-state kids that we think, you know, we want to build our program on. So the high school ranks, you know, if you look at the University of Georgia this year, they had one transfer player on their roster. And so they recruited great high school players, they developed those players, and they played at a high level the last couple of years with them.
As far as pursuing those FBS transfers, particularly, you know, ones with Power 5 interest, like, do you even bother at that point if you know that they have NIL being thrown at them? Yeah, or do you try and convince them, like, hey, yes, you might get a bag there early, but you also might just be a guy in a room or a depth piece, whereas right. you could be, you know, a starter here.
There's no doubt. And I think you know, we have such a small sample size of just about a year of transfer, but I think that's going to show as we move on. You know, a lot of these Power Fives are signing these guys, and they're going to be depth guys. You know, the reality is a lot of these Power Five schools that have NIL money, they don't even have to have a scholarship. They're just paying the kids. And so it really puts the competitive balance a little bit out of whack. And a lot of the players that we used to be able to get, we can't get now because of NIL. So we have to just understand that and adjust. You know, adjust our recruiting to the high school ranks, adjust our recruiting to the JC ranks. And there are more players in that pool now because a lot of the Power Five guys are going after kids in the transfer portal. So we'll adjust to where we can really make the biggest bang for our buck and try to get the cream of the crop of the high school ranks. And so that's really important, you know, and there's a great saying, you know, and I think this fits us, you know, we're not going to get any players because of NIL money, but we don't want to lose players. And I think that's for us moving forward as we identify and develop these talented players that are all conference and all American at the group of five level. We don't want, you know, the Power Five schools to come and poach those kids.
How much tampering is going on in modern college football? Where, because, like, you know, we're not DMing these players. It has to be happening.
Yeah. You know, I just don't think there's any reason for a kid that's in a good situation to jump in the portal unless somebody's contacted him and told him that he's going to get a scholarship at their school. And I think, you know, what you're seeing is you're seeing people that work in these collectives, they don't fall under the NCAA guidelines as far as calling and talking to kids. And so I do think there's some of that going on where somebody from a collective will call a player and reach his people and say, if he gets in the portal, you know, school X will offer him and they'll have an opportunity to get this kind of NIL money. And so the system wasn't developed for that. It's not legal, but it is going on.
I don't want to go too far into the weeds here, but do you wish the NCAA was more involved in this? Yeah. I mean, it seems like they kind of just were like, all right, fine. You guys want to pay players, go ahead. And
right.
Now it's just chaos.
Yeah, I think it's you know, it's just kind of, it is what it is. It's a little bit of the Wild West right now. But I don't think it's sustainable. I think, in the next couple years, it'll kind of settle down. And I think, you know, they have to put some reins on the NIL space. And so I think we'll see some of that in the future. But right now it is a little bit of the Wild West.
Do you like the way that the current structure is set up with the early period, and you like that more?
I do. I just, for many years as an assistant coach, we did not have this early signing period. And I think majority of the kids have their mind made up already and they're ready to decide. And so I just think it ends the period. It gets kids signed up where they're going to go. Because there is about a 2-month span there where you are just babysitting kids. You're going to see kids, and there's a lot of financial money that you spent just to keep going to see kids that already made their decision. And so, like you mentioned, most of our kids decided in the summer. They knew where they wanted to go, so they were ready to sign in December. You know, there's issues with bowl games and. And now that they decided to put this the transfer window mm-hmm. right in the middle of December, that changes things a little bit. But I still think it's the best system that we've had so far. And you know, there are people that are in bowl games and championship games that don't really like it. But I would hate to see us go back to February. I think that would be going backwards at this point.
You got into it a little bit, but the state of Colorado and recruiting it is always going to be a hot topic for CU and CSU. It gets somewhat complicated because clearly it's not Texas, it's not California, it's not Florida. There are a lot of talented players that can come out of here. But how do you feel like you and your staff have done just as far as establishing those relationships and kind of, you know, trying to create those local pipelines?
No, I mean, we've spent a lot of time. I've spent a lot of time personally out in the schools in the Colorado. Our staff has, you know, this last weekend we had a weekend for all the preferred walk-ons, which were players that didn't receive scholarship offers from us, but we still like them in our program. You know, we had a junior day, a huge junior day this weekend. So we're just going to constantly be in the schools in Colorado. We want the best talent in Colorado to come to CSU, you know. We put 3 kids on scholarship, Drew Kulik, Keegan Hollis, and Keegan Hamilton, really good players from the state that came to us as walk-ons. And then we signed the 3 kids in the class this year. So those are really important players for us. There are some other kids that maybe have Division II offers that we've talked to about coming to CSU. And a lot of times those guys end up being your best players. They earned scholarships. You know, when I was at Nevada, I was there 5 years. We gave 16 player scholarships that were walk-ons. This past year, in our first year at CSU, we gave 6 player scholarships that were walk-ons. And so we love doing that. But if a player comes in and does the things we ask them to do, really contributes to the program, they have an opportunity to earn a scholarship at CSU.
You've already talked a lot about this class. You did a full 40-minute press conference, so I want to go too in the weeds here. I've written a lot about it, but one of the things that's really stood out to me about the approach, and you guys were very honest about this when you came in, is you don't necessarily care about positional experience. You want those plus traits, guys that are
no doubt
above average athletes, and a lot of the time, you know, if you're the best athlete on your team, you're probably playing receiver, running back, they're getting the ball in your hands. Are you guys finding success with the early development, and has that something you've always believed in? Is this Freddie Banks's kind of impact? Where does that come from?
No, I think that's a great question. And I just think in the sport of football, you have to have a philosophy in recruiting and acquiring talent. I mean, it's the most important thing we have to do as coaches is acquire talent and then develop that talent. And, you know, I coached college ball for about 8 years, and then I went to the NFL for 6 years. I was with the Colts for 4 and then the Oakland Raiders for 2, and I really learned a lot being around, you know, Bill Polian with the Colts. You know, we drafted Peyton Manning. I went through that whole Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning draft, but also identifying what traits it takes to be successful. We are recruiting NFL players. I mean, there's no bones about it. We want guys that can go to the NFL. And so the traits that we look for, size, length, arm length, hand size, agility, you know, there's 35 two-sport athletes in this class. So we have guys that are excelling. We got a wide receiver that's a 6'10 high jumper. We've got a defensive end from Austin that ran 10-9 at 6'5, 230 pounds. I mean, you know, we've got an offensive lineman from Cheney that's part of the Arnold Schwarzenegger strongman competition. You know, he pulls U-Hauls, he throws 350-pound stones. I mean, these are all physical traits that are unique that we're bringing to CSU. And so the two-sport athlete is huge, you know, versatility. You know, and I really got to hand it to our defensive staff. You know, a lot of coaches want ready-made players, but we like guys with high ceilings. So mm-hmm. we'll recruit, you know, most high schools put their best athlete at quarterback or running back or receiver. We'll take one of those kids and he played, might have been a high school quarterback, but we'll put him at linebacker. We'll move a wide receiver to safety or linebacker. And where those ball skills, those athletic skills can really shine, and we can get an NFL type player. And so that comes from experience and doing it. And our guys have done a great job. Our defensive coaches are open-minded that way. And, you know, I just think we have tremendous talent, especially in our defensive line. I mean, some of our young players coming up the pike are just really super dynamic pass rushers. We never had kids like that when we were at Nevada. And I think the future is so bright with our personnel.
I know you got a lot to do, so I'm going to let you get out of here momentarily. I got just a couple more for you. Real quick, guys, when you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is here to help. Backus and Shanker wins for Colorado families. They're helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. No, they are free until they win money in your case. No upfront fee. No fee while they work on your case. No fee until they win your case and win money for you. They've won over $1 billion for their clients. Now with more locations serving all of Colorado, including offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, and Fort Collins, they have the power and will to win your case with more than 30 lawyers and 100 staff. Backus and Shanker helps with all kinds of injury cases when you weren't at fault, car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrian, trucks, you name it. They can even help if you're injured at work. Call them at 222-222-22. To find out if you have a case for free, that's 7-2s. Backus and Shanker wins. This is going to be kind of a perfect segue, I think, because you mentioned how you have going for NFL players. You've coached in the NFL. You've coached at the collegiate level. Right now, there's a big focus on NFL coaches here because of Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. As a guy who spent time at both levels, what's the biggest difference between coaching at the collegiate level and coaching at the pro level? And what draws you towards the college game over the pro game?
I think, number one, the biggest difference at the professional level, you know, people say, gosh, these guys make so much money, they don't really need coaching. It's really just the opposite. These athletes are get paid very well, and they need quality coaching. And the really good players respect that. You have to be a leader of men when you coach professional athletes. And I think there's a lot of bright people, but there are some people that have special qualities that can gain the respect of grown men. And you know, I've known Sean for a long time. We were players, free agents when I was with the Bears, and then I knew him when he was with the Eagles and then the Saints, and we used to go visit them. But, you know, Sean's got amazing history and experiences, you know, and I just think his time with Bill Parcells really gave him a different perspective of which most NFL coaches don't get. And I just think he has real insight on personnel and dealing with a team and gaining that respect from these professionals. And so, you know, he's just got an amazing background. I think it's a really great hire for the Broncos.
at the very least, he's a brilliant play designer. So, you know, maybe they don't win more games this year, but they won't be so boring, which will be, as a Broncos guy, you know, I wore the Broncos jacket even when they lose, but it's like,
you're a loyal fan,
man. Yeah. All right. We're doing this again. Another week of this. You know, you've been honest about how you have a lot of respect for Craig Bohl. You guys have a relationship that goes back. You've coached against Troy Calhoun a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any type of relationship with Deion Sanders? And
you know, I really don't. You know, when I was with the Colts, we played against them with the Broncos. You know, really the interaction I've had with him is a year ago, he hired one of my assistants to coach his offense at Jackson State. And he wanted to run the air raid. And so Brett Barlone went up there and now he's coaching their receivers. Great, great guy. But I really don't have any, we've never met. But I do think this. I think he did a really good job at Jackson State, and he's earned this opportunity, and I'm happy for him. You know, and obviously I'm at Colorado State, and they're Colorado. I am really excited that the CU game is back on our schedule. You know,
Yeah. That
was one of the things when I became the head coach at Colorado State. I looked at that and was really anxious to have that game on the schedule. You know, that's one of the great things about our school is we have great rivalry against CU, great rivalry against Wyoming, and a great rivalry with Air Force. And those are the big games you get to play at Colorado State. And we're excited. It's great for our fans, and we're looking forward to playing them this year.
Speaking of rivalries, clearly one of the big things you're tasked with is kind of turning around CSU's performance in these big games. It's been a struggle now for about 6 years.
Yep.
At some point, is it just random, or is that like systemic when you are continually coming up short in these big moments?
No, it's, you know, I think it's a process. I really do. And I've been a part of a lot of great programs, and I shared a story with our team. You know, when I was my first coaching job when I left Iowa was at Notre Dame. And Barry Alvarez was an assistant there, and Lou Holtz talked about a process, and he believed that every program had to go through this to get to championships. And there was four things. You know, the first thing, the players got to love and care for each other. The second, there's got to be a level of trust within the team and the coaching staff. The third step is commitment, to where everybody's putting forth a great effort. And it's really sacrificing for the team. And then the fourth thing is belief. And once you've invested and you really care about each other, you trust one another, you've committed to the process, you believe you should win. And I think we're in the middle of that right now. We're getting to that point where guys are starting to trust and believe in each other. The commitment level has been risen. And the last part of that is when you walk into somebody's stadium, you believe you're supposed to win, and you start to do it consistently. And so I'm anxious. I believe we got a team that can get there. And this is a big step for us. You know, your second year, everybody understands the expectations. They don't have to wonder what workouts are like or practice is like. It's really just all the focus is on the work. And I think there's no question that our football team has that personality right now. And I'm excited to see how that will correlate into this season.
Just the last thing I want to ask you here with spring ball coming up. How important is the spring ball really? Like from somebody who's doing it on the day to great grind, obviously there's still months and months before the season, but just as far as, like you said, establishing those habits. And then how big of a loss was it last year losing so many of these guys in season that you repped up with in spring ball?
Like, no doubt.
We got our system down, now they're gone.
Yeah, that was really disappointing because it's an investment. You know, our season starts in January. We have 8 weeks of winter training. We have 5 weeks of spring practice. Then we come back in the summer. We have 8 weeks of summer training and 5 weeks of a month of training camp, and then we play. And so really the bulk of your team has gone through that winter training, through spring practice, and you've invested a lot of repetitions in those guys. You know, a lot of those guys, especially on offense, that we invested in that, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, a lot of those kids checked out on us and in the first part of the season, and so it left us shorthanded. And you know, I had Justice Ross Simmons and Lewis Brown in my office yesterday. You know, they were basically learning on the fly.
Yeah.
And they didn't get those repetitions. And, you know, Jordan Williams was learning on the fly. Justice Ross Simmons, Lewis Brown, Makai Fox, all those young skill players weren't here in the spring. So this is the time where they really get to understand and detail their craft. And we should have a group that has that experience going into this fall. And so that's what gives me so much excitement about the progress we can make this year.
What are those conversations like, I guess, with the guys? The thing that was really surprising to me is it wasn't just people leaving that weren't seeing the field. Like, some of those guys were starters and playing, you know, 60 plus snaps a game.
Yeah, it was disappointing. I think as a coach, the thing that you hate to see is somebody that doesn't take advantage of an opportunity, because you know how small these opportunities are and how limited they are. You can't go back when you're 35 years old and play college football. And so that was the most disappointing thing to me. Usually when players aren't playing, they get disgruntled and want to move on. We had players that were starting that decided not to play anymore, which is almost unheard of. I mean, we had a scholarship player not want to travel to a game because he scheduled a wedding during our, and he gave up a scholarship.
In season?
In season, yeah. And so it just, I mean, when I talk about the commitment level, you know, and this was a group that played for two different head coaches. I was their third head coach. And so, you know, I understand it's, you know, not being committed to start over again. There's parts to that. I just wish they would have done that before the season, before they made that commitment to their teammates.
Totally. Well, Jay, it's been an absolute honor to have you in studio. Thank you so much for coming down. It means the world to me. You've been a man of the people since you've taken the job, but genuinely, it's not lost on me the effort and commitment that you're willing to make for the CSU community. It means a lot, so thank you.
Thank you. You do a great job, and anytime you want us to come down, just let us know.
Awesome. Guys, stay warm out there. Shout out to the presenting sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that code DNVR when you sign up. Much love. Peace. Go Rams.